The scripture reading tonight is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it.
Good to be back with you tonight. We hope everyone had a good, restful afternoon. Always good to be here and have the opportunity to study God's Word and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle will wake up and know that if he doesn't outrun the fastest lion, he's probably going to be killed. And every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up and realizes if he can't outrun the slowest gazelle, then he's probably going to starve. But one way or the other, we know in the animal kingdom, they understand that they're going to have to do some running. And we're all familiar with the idea of running, aren't we? We seem to be running here and running there. We're constantly running, trying to get things done that we want to accomplish. And yet it seems like there's not enough hours in the day to do all the things we want to do. And even as Christians, we understand the concept of running, even running for our lives. We know that we have to outrun the devil if we're going to have a crown in heaven after a while. And over again in the Bible, I think most of you are familiar with the fact that we have different references to the idea of running, the race of Christianity or the Christian's race. And we find that in many different passages and many different ways, but we recognize as Christians we have to be about the business of running. And so tonight, just for a few minutes, we want to talk about running the race of Christianity. And why should we run this race in the first place? Well, why do individuals in the physical realm run a race? We know why they run. It's because they want to receive the prize. We know that many people, every 4 years, the Olympics come along and individuals want to be a part of that because they want that prize of the gold medal. It is to them a wonderful prize, a prize that carries prestige with it and popularity and perhaps things like appearances on TV and endorsements and all of those kind of things that are beneficial to them. It is a worthy prize from a physical standpoint. But we understand we run a race because of the prize. If it is a prize that is impressive and attractive and something that is something people would want, then many people want to run in that race. If I were to ask you if you're a runner, if you like to run a race, what if I told you that there's going to be a race next week and if you can just win that race, you're going to win $2? How many of you would sign up for that race? Probably not too many of you, except for maybe those who just love to run for the sake of running. That wouldn't be very impressive, but I guarantee you if I told you next week there's going to be a race and if you come in first place, you'll win $50,000, you start stretching right now, wouldn't you? Because of the prize. You want that prize. What about us as Christians? We're running in a race. And why should we want to run this race? If you're not a Christian here tonight, why should you want to become a part of this race? Well, again, it's because of the great prize that you receive for running this race. It is the prize of heaven. It is the prize of defeating death. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm sure that you're familiar with the great passage on the resurrection. Matthew, the 15th chapter, Paul begins to talk about the victory that we have in Christ. Beginning at verse 50, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and notice, if you would, at verse 50. The record says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory or sting? Where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful passage of Scripture this is. And it is pointing to the great victory that we have. Ultimately, that victory is a home in heaven. But he tells us here that we're going to be changed. This perishable body, with all of the frailties of it, with all of the problems, with all of the pain that's associated with this body, that's going to all be in the past. We're going to change from perishable to imperishable, to mortal to immortal. We're going to have our resurrected bodies that are perfect, and we're going to be like Christ, the Bible says. That's the prize that we will receive. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you remember, Paul spoke about this very thing. 2 Corinthians 5, and at verse 1 beginning. That is 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and at verse 1. It says, for we know that if this tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal might be swallowed up by life. And he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And so we all realize as Christians that one of these days, we're no longer going to have all the pain and the problems associated with this tent, this tabernacle. We all groan being burdened, don't we? I didn't mean that your life is miserable all the time, but the fact of the matter is there isn't anyone here tonight who hasn't groaned because of the problems of life. But we realize that we have a prize waiting for us. We realize that in the end that we're going to have heaven and not just spend all eternity in heaven, but we're going to have a perfect body in which there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. All of those things will have passed away. Look in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22 just for a moment. In Revelation chapter 22, listen to what the book of Revelation teaches us. Something very exciting, I think, that we should all focus on. Revelation chapter 22, and at verse 1 it says, and then the angel showed me the river of water, of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, which with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. Now watch. And they shall see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. Just stop and think about that. Yes, the prize is heaven. But when we begin to study the Bible, we find that in heaven, we're not going to live throughout all eternity in a perishable body that is full of pain. No, we're going to have a new resurrected body. But not only that, when we get to heaven, we're actually going to be in the very presence of God. I understand that we're always in the presence of God because he is omnipresent. But can you imagine being in heaven and seeing God face to face? That's the prize. That's why you get into this race. Because you want to see God face to face. You want eternal life. You want to live forever. But being in the presence of God, being in the presence of Jesus, can you imagine what it will be like when you actually, literally speak to Jesus, carry on a conversation with Christ? What a great hope that is. That's the prize. That's why I'm glad I'm in the race. That's why you should be glad if you're a Christian that you're in this race. That's why if you're not a Christian, you should want to get in this race. It's the great prize that we have. But then we need to understand some things about getting into this race. We need to understand that you have to qualify to be in this race. Now, that's not unlike a physical race. I couldn't just decide, you know, next time the Olympics are going to roll around, I think I'll just be a part of that. Yeah, that's my plan. I'm going to be a part of the Olympics next time. No, it doesn't work like that, does it? You have to qualify. And you have to qualify to be in the race of Christianity as well. In fact, let's turn over for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to what Paul has to say about this race. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read verse 5. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. At verse 5, Paul says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. That's very important, isn't it? We understand that, again, in the physical race. And, you know, the first thing you have to do to run according to the rules is make sure that you're on the right track. Like, again, even if I had the ability to run in a race like the Olympics, even if I was that fast that I actually could do that, I couldn't say, you know, when the Olympics come along, I'm going to run in the Olympics, but what I'm going to do is get in my car and drive over here to Akron University and run around that track. That won't do, will it? The wrong track. In order to get the prize in any race, you have to run on the right track. And the only way you can get on the right track so far as this race is concerned is by obeying the gospel of Christ. You have to obey the gospel and get into Christ. That's where the track is. That's the only place where you can run the race. If you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you need to make a decision that you'll do that before it's too late. Don't forget, as we always point out, that life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You need to make a decision sooner than later to obey the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Jesus in Mark 16 at verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you really believe in Jesus and you're buried in the waters of baptism, that will put you into Christ and now you can run the race. You have to qualify. There's a lot of people who think they're running the race, but they don't qualify. They're running in the wrong place. They're running on the wrong track. You have to get on the right track. That's in Christ. But even after you do that, and I suspect most of us here tonight, we're already on the right track. But don't forget, Paul said that we have to run according to the rules. Like again, you think about a physical race. There's some rules that you have to obey in order to get that prize in the end. There's a rule right from the very beginning. You have to wait before you can take off on that race. You have to wait until the gun is fired. They always have false starts in these physical races, don't they? And sometimes individuals become disqualified. Because you can only have so many false starts. I believe it's two. I'm not sure. It might be three. I know it's no more than three. But the point of it is you can only false start so many times. And then you're disqualified. And even if you listen very carefully and you don't take off too soon, you take off at the right time still. Now you have some lanes, those white lines, and you have to make sure that you stay in that lane. If you step outside of your lane, you're disqualified. And it really doesn't matter why you do it. Like, not too many people step outside of their lane on purpose. In fact, most people in a physical race, they're trying to do everything they can to stay in their lane. But even if you accidentally step outside the lane, you'll be disqualified. You have to run lawfully. And we understand, again, with regard to a physical race, those white lines mark the lane that you have to stay in. In this race of Christianity, the Bible is our lane. We have to stay in our lane, don't we? We can't step outside of the lane. We can't go outside or beyond the Word of God. 2 John at verse 9 talks to us about that. That whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. Why? Because he's disqualified himself. Let's make sure we don't do that. We have to stay in the lane. We have to have authority for everything that we do. We can't practice things that are outside the scope of God's Word or else we'll be disqualified. A lot of people don't realize. They don't understand that they're running unlawfully. Maybe they engage in the social gospel. They use the Lord's money for fun and frolic and recreation and entertainment and all of those kind of things. They have a real good time doing all of that, not realizing they have been disqualified. Well, preacher, they're not doing that on purpose. They really think that they're staying in their lane. It doesn't matter what the motive is. You step outside the lane, you're disqualified. There's a lot of churches today that allow women to be preachers and pastors, elders in their various churches. They are disqualifying themselves. And the list could go on and on of things that people do that are outside of those white lines, outside of the lane. We have to make sure that we run lawfully. We all want the prize. But just desire alone isn't enough. We have to run according to the rules. Paul said. But I'll tell you something else about this race that we're thinking about here tonight. And this is true particularly those of us who are already in the race, those of us who are Christians, we need to act like we want to win this race. I've said many times before, there's too many of us in Christ that are just sort of jogging around the track as if we really don't care. We need to run. You remember how Paul said that in the passage that was read for us a while ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, turn your Bibles over there. Listen to what Paul says again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and at verse 24, and we'll read on down from there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 at verse 24. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." It's just amazing sometimes as we begin to think in our minds of that connection between a physical race and this race of Christianity, how that our prize is so much better. Our prize is not going to fade away. And yet it seems like sometimes with regard to those who run the physical race, they have a lot more self-control. They have a lot more discipline in running for their prize, even though it's physical, even though it's perishable. They seem to have more discipline than we do. There's something wrong with that. The stakes are high. We're running for glory in heaven. We need to run as if we really want to obtain. We have to have the same kind of self-control as those in the physical race have. They work out. They don't mind getting up early in the morning so that they can be in the best shape they can possibly be in. They refrain from junk food and all those kind of things. They use discipline so that they could be in the greatest shape that they can be in. And shouldn't we do the same thing? Run like you really want to obtain. When we think about Christianity, it's not simply a game. It's not a joke. It's something serious. You need to act like you really want that prize. I need to live a disciplined life as if I really want the prize. Listen to the way Paul explains it here as he goes on. At verse 27, he says, "I discipline my body. And I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Shouldn't we have that same mentality? For those of you who are members at Brown Street, you've heard me look at this verse before, the graphic language that Paul is using there. I discipline my body. That the Greek word there means to hit yourself in the face as to leave a mark. What we would call black eye. And Paul's using that language. That would jump out at the people that he was writing to. Like, it's a picture of Paul actually hitting himself in the face. And obviously everybody knew he didn't really do that. But he's figuratively, metaphorically describing the self-discipline that he had because he didn't want to be disqualified. And we see when we look at the working out of Paul's life, we see that discipline in action. We ought to exercise the same discipline. We ought to be able to say with Paul that we keep our body under control, lest when we preach to others, we find ourselves disqualified. How are you running the race? Are you running like you really, really want the prize you really want to obtain? There's a few things we need to do in order to do that. And the Hebrew writer helps us with that. Turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 12. Remember this great passage? Hebrews chapter 12 and at verse 1, this is how you run, as if you really want to obtain. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," he says, first of all, "let us lay aside every weight." That's how you run, as if you really want to obtain. You know, again, in a physical race, that they work out before the race comes with weights on their wrist and their ankles, and so that they build up muscle in the proper places. We all know that about physical runners in a race. Wouldn't it be silly for one of those runners to keep the weights on when the race began? That certainly would not be running as if they really wanted to obtain. No, they take those weights off. They lay those weights aside. And the point of it is, we need to lay aside anything in our life that's stopping us from running as hard and fast as we possibly can. Anything that's going to impede our progress forward, we need to lay it aside. Lay aside every weight. It might be relationships. It might be friends. Sometimes even family members. It might be recreational things that you engage in. Whatever it is, bad habits that keep you from running as fast as you can, lay aside every weight. You know what the weight might be in your life. You need to lay it aside. You need to act like you really want to obtain the prize. Lay aside every weight. We all need to examine our lives to see exactly what that weight might be and make sure that we have put it off. If we haven't, we need to do that as quickly as we can. And then he says, we need to run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's the second thing you do in order to run like you really want to obtain. You have to run with endurance. You have to make up in your mind that you're not going to quit. You're not going to let the obstacles of life slow you down. You're going to keep on running. There are going to be bumps in the road. We know that. I've often said this race of Christianity is difficult. There are roads on this race that are long and laborious with all kind of windy roads. There's uphill climbs and downhill collisions. There are potholes in the midst of the road. There are all kind of difficulties that we have to overcome. You have to run with patience. You have to have endurance. Because at the end of the day, it's not how you start the race. How you start it is important. You have to start it the right way. You have to do everything lawfully. But the prize is only for those who finish. And isn't it a wonderful thing that it's much better than a physical race? Like, there's only so many people who can get the prize that they want in a physical race. You take the Olympics, everybody wants the gold. But, you know, the silver isn't all that bad. It's all right if you come in second or even third. You'll still get a medal. But there's only so many spots you need to come in. If you want a medal, there's only three spots. Aren't you glad there's more than three spots when it comes down to our prize? The fact of the matter is, anybody who enters the race, if they only finish the course, will get the prize. That's a wonderful thing, but you have to finish. And the devil doesn't want you to finish. And he'll do everything he can to stop you from finishing. He wants you to be disqualified. He wants you to drop out. How many people have we had here at Brown Street over the years who have dropped out of the race? They're somewhere sitting right now, not running. They've been disqualified. You don't want that to be you. I certainly don't want that to be me. You have to run with patience. You have to run with endurance. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Run like you really want to obtain. Have some endurance. Have some patience. And then finally, the Hebrew writer goes on to say at verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Isn't it wonderful that we have such a great example in Jesus? We can look to Him. In fact, as you sometimes have some of these problems I just talked about, sometimes we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. Life is so hard, and God understands if I quit or don't run like I ought to run. No, God expects you, through all of the trials and tribulations of life, to continue to run. And if you ever doubt that, look to Jesus. Look what He had to endure for you, so that you could be in this race, so that there could even be a race. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says here. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Don't you think God expects you to endure? Jesus did. He endured the cross, the most shameful death you could possibly die. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that ye may not grow weary or faint-hearted. That's what looking unto Jesus can do. It can stop us from growing weary. It can stop us from feeling sorry for ourselves in the struggles of life, realizing that we haven't gone through what Jesus went through for us. In fact, in verse 4, He says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Jesus did. He shed His blood. He went through pain. He went through pain that is hard to imagine, being beaten before He went to the cross, and finally having to die on the cross. He shed His blood for you. Whatever you're going through for Jesus, you haven't yet shed your blood, have you? Look to Jesus and try to emulate Him. And that will help you to obtain the prize that you should want to obtain. We need to run this race. We run all the time. We're constantly running in life, in the physical realm. Let's understand the importance of running the race of Christianity. And those of you who are Christians, run like you really, really want to obtain. Let's run together as if we really want to obtain this prize. We'll be better off for it. The church will be better off for it. But we have to keep on running. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? We've already told you what you have to do to get on the right track. Why not do it tonight? As I said earlier, life is a vapor. We just don't know when it's going to end. It may not end tonight, but it might. This might not be your last day here on this earth, but it might be. We just don't know, do we? That you have this moment right now to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to get in the race and start running as if you want to obtain. You have the opportunity to do that right here, right now. Are you going to ignore it? There could be grave consequences if you do. Get in the race. Do it tonight. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.